Hey, this is Beth from the Gun Blog Variety Cast, reminding y'all that this podcast is a member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Check out all the other great podcasts at selfdefenseradio.net.
You're listening to the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter. I'm at Remso101. That's R-E-M-S-O-101. Great to have you all here. I'm broadcasting to you from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia, coast to coast. Welcome back for everyone that's been hanging on. If you're listening through Auto Radio, Deplorable Radio, LRN.FM, and the other fantastic networks such as AHA by Harman Radio, glad to have you here during the Red Eye Hours. Apart from that, I want to give a special shout out to our iTunes crowd because of you, 95% of all podcast listeners are able to go on the top charts and see we're typically there unless we're having a bad day, which really these days we're not, because season 3 is by far been just absolutely bombastic, fantastic. It's awesomeness on steroids, because we've got one mission. And for those of you that are new, this is pretty important for you to know how we go with the tone. It's one mission, and we try and do that one thing very, very well. We want to make freedom fun again. Economic liberty, personal liberty, just fun in general. You do you, I do me. We don't use the government as a violent middleman, and we could all be a happy American family. So welcome back. We've got a great show for you tonight. It's hard for me to talk about making freedom fun again if I can't go ahead and reflect on the one guy who really, I think, is hitting kind of a resurgence. When you can make this bro into like a hipster meme that both libertarians and Republicans can both like fawn over, I think you're doing really well. And in today's Republican control age, I think it's worth bringing him back. Ladies and gentlemen, apart from just making freedom fun again, I want to go ahead and make Calvin Coolidge cool again. But some of you are like, who's that? Well, that's why I brought on someone who's a little bit more of a history buff than I am. He's the host of Young Guns over at Outset. Ladies and gentlemen, my buddy from back at Liberty up in Northern Virginia fighting the swampland and everything else liberal degeneracy-wise. Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Greisinger. Kyle, welcome to the program, bud.
Thanks for having me, Remso. We truly are behind enemy lines up here in Northern Virginia outside the Beltway.
It's occupied territory, essentially.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So, Kyle, Calvin Coolidge, cool or not?
Absolutely cool. Undeniably cool. 30th president of the United States. Coincidentally, I think we get a good one about one every 10. We had Washington. I don't remember who was 20. Then you got Coolidge, and then you got Reagan. It's a great lineup you got.
Exactly. So for folks at home that do know about Silent Cal, I mean, it's just that right there. He's Silent Cal. He was the do-nothing president. He helped lead us to, you know, the stock market crash and everything else. He showed that laissez-faire government didn't work. That's what you're going to learn when you go to, I don't know, any Fairfax County public school for that part. That's what I was taught. I was taught he was a lazy do-nothing president that ultimately was like, meh, not my fault. As I got into my adult years and I actually learned, you know, why things went the way they went and why Coolidge was the way he was, I developed more of a respect for him, but it took me a little while to get it. Your challenge right now is, I don't know, a couple minutes or less. Why should people actually care about Calvin?
Well, how do you sum up one of the greatest presidents in American history into a couple of minutes? For one, he was the only conservative, the only traditional classical liberal, small government type to win the presidency during the progressive era. This is a guy who came in after Roosevelt, after Woodrow Wilson has taken the stage, after all of that, and manages to win the national election on a ticket of, I want to get elected and leave everyone alone. I want to get into office and lower taxes and lower spending. And I think he vetoed. I think he ranks pretty high up there in the number of vetoes. This was a guy who bucked all the stereotypes, and his nickname, as you mentioned, is Silent Cal. He didn't talk a lot, which is kind of unheard of. And today you have to be basically a media figure in order to get elected president. So this is a guy who came into office, ran for office, bucked every single stereotype, every single trend in the country for the first time in decades, reversed spending, actually cut the federal budget. When he left office, there was the government was spending less than when he came into office in real dollar amounts. So really, I mean, Coolidge is unbelievable as far as being just an anomaly in the presidency.
He's like the coolest like folklore legends too that aren't even fake. I mean, they've all been proven one way or another. I remember his wife was holding a function at the White House during his first actual term after his election because of Harding's death and everything. But this one woman was sitting next to him and she was like, you know, I have a bet going on with my husband that I can get you to say more than three words this entire night. And Coolidge looks at her and says, you lose. And then he got up and went outside.
Yeah, I love that story. Another great, great Coolidge acronym. He actually was one of the very first, the early presidents to try and improve relations with the Native Americans. And so there's a couple of really great pictures floating around out there of, you know, Silent Cal stone-faced as he normally was, wearing a Native American chieftain's headdress. And it just like the fact that this exists in the history books, I don't know if America would be as great as it is without President Coolidge.
Exactly. I mean, he was one of the first modern civil rights leaders, not even the first civil rights Republican, because I'll go ahead and say that a lot of people view, you know, the romantic view of Lincoln. And I don't believe that Lincoln was a true civil rights hero. I believe that it really started with the Republican Party, as we see with history, but it really took an effect with Coolidge. Coolidge was the one, you know, in the 20th century, it's not cool to go help out the Indians. It's not cool to start saying, you need to own your own lands. You need to be the masters of your own lives. And the federal government's getting way, way too involved. He tried to do as much as he could, more so than others. So people will be like, oh, he didn't do everything, but hey, he did more than most. But apart from that, he was also for, expanding rights to African Americans during the Jim Crow era. And this is a guy from Vermont, of all places. He's from up north and he doesn't see this all the time, but he was still trying to do that as president. Why do you think the history books have shut so much of Cal out of history?
Well, we're a media culture these days. We're attracted to the guys that are mostly flash and minimal substance. I mean, if you look at the presidents that are considered great in our history books, closest to the era of Cal would have been Roosevelt, who's this larger than life figure, and talking about Teddy Roosevelt, of course, who's this larger than life figure who just, I mean, it's like he was ripped out of the pages of a Roald Dahl novel. And so when you've got Roosevelt competing up against somebody like Calvin Coolidge, who doesn't say a lot, doesn't do a lot, kind of just lives to himself, doesn't want the government to do much at all, the progressives in the modern day are certainly pulled towards someone who identifies with them a little bit more and has a little bit more exciting story to them, if you will. And it's a real shame. It really is. He was one of the great men of history, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. Kyle, we're going to keep this Calvin Coolidge-oriented conversation going, but first we've got to go ahead and pay the bills around here and hit our first commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the Remser Republic. Try to make Calvin Coolidge cool again. We'll be back in a moment.
Let's make freedom fun again. Join the Remser Republic on Patreon today.
Hey, that's really good.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remser Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
It's time to shake up your podcast feed, folks, by subscribing to Lions of Liberty, the only libertarian variety show out there. Spend Mondays with me, Mark Clare, as I feature in-depth interviews with great names in the libertarian community and fun roundtable discussions.
Electric Liberty Land with me, Brian McWilliams, every Wednesday, your weekly dose of comedy, culture, and liberty.
And Felony Fridays with me, John Odermatt, where I expose injustice in the broken criminal justice system.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and at lionsofliberty.com.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our Libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want, when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
All right, everyone, welcome back. We're continuing our conversation from earlier with Kyle. Kyle, when it comes to right now in, you know, today's conservative echo chamber, I never thought that Calvin Coolidge would be someone I'm seeing turned into a meme. It just seems like when you look at the dude, if he knew what we were doing and he understood what a meme was, he'd probably hate every second of it because he never wanted to focus on himself for anything. He hated attention. He'd rather hang out with his wife, especially after his son had died, Cal Jr. But why do you see this sudden resurgence for Calvin Coolidge now? Because I like to say that I liked him as he was my favorite president before he was everyone's favorite president because everyone was with Reagan. Reagan's one of my, you know, top favorite presidents, but I like Coolidge more than Reagan. And now I'm seeing everyone who's, you know, right of center really falling back in love with Calvin. I mean, I don't know if it was the book that came out by Amity Schlaes or something else, but it seems really odd because we live in the big power politics age of humanity. We have Trumpolini, as Bill Maher calls him, and, you know, good or bad, when you look at the type of president that Donald Trump is, he's almost the exact opposite of Calvin Coolidge, and let's just target personality-wise. So why do you think you have kind of like this Coolidge renaissance popping out now of all times?
Oh, you know, I think there's something to the truth of you don't miss what you had until you've gone and lost it. I think there's something romantic about this idea of the stoic president from 1920, and I think that just really appeals when, like I mentioned earlier, you know, we're in an era that's all about flash and not about substance. You go back and you find a guy who couldn't flash to save his life, but had more substance than you and I could dream of having in a lifetime.
Definitely. And even when you just look at the person he was, I mean, he was in the state government, he was governor, he was vice president, and he became president. And for a lot of people, they just always assumed, you know, when it came to American politics, that you need to kind of have that progression. And, you know, I keep throwing out Trump as an example, but he's not the only one that just kind of came to power. You have Hoover, who only spent a little bit of time in government. You have, I forgot which president was in charge of a newspaper for the longest time. You had presidents that did not spend much time in government. You had, I mean, Eisenhower's a good example. Eisenhower spent almost no time in government. And then you've got people, I mean, Barack Obama, senator, George Bush, governor, Bill Clinton, governor, Bush 41, governor, CIA director, all that stuff. I mean, when it comes to the progression of the crafting of a president, do you think the model of Coolidge, which was step up every level of government, I mean, the only election he ever lost was for school board, and people told him it's because it would have been awkward because he had no kids. Do you think that type of upward progression in government is something that people should try and emulate like Coolidge, or do you think that doesn't necessarily matter anymore?
Well, I think there's a number of ways to look at it. I think in general, when it comes to being effective and actually accomplishing the goals that you set out, I think President Trump is a great example of the dangers of not having spent any time in government. Government doesn't operate like a business. It just doesn't. There's only so many of those skills that translate. But somebody like Coolidge, who spent time, who was elected mayor and then elected governor. I mean, he was actually a relatively unknown governor until the Boston police strike. But, you know, when you work your way up and you learn how the system works, you learn how to be effective and actually get what you're trying to get done accomplished. I think there's tremendous value in that. I wish that certainly as 2018 is starting to look like, we got Kid Rock running for Senate, The Rock running for president.
Yeah!
Hey, can we no more Rocks running for anything, please? But that being said, we're coming up on a point where it seems like you don't have to have any experience in anything to be president. I mean, for crying out loud, the Rock and Kid Rock, last time I checked, neither of them have any public policy experience of any kind or business experience. One of them is an actor and the other one sings song about smoking funny things out by the lake.
Kind of rewinding a second, you know, when we talk about people falling back in love with the type of Coolidge conservatism that, you know, has kind of made a brand for itself. You know, Ronald Reagan, when he was first elected president back in 1980, the first thing he did was he brought back a framed portrait of Calvin Coolidge that had been hiding, you know, in a corner that one of the past presidents, I think it was Johnson, took it down and he put it in the storage room, and Reagan put it up in the Oval Office. And you brought up the police riot earlier. I want to talk a little bit more about that, but for those of those listening that don't know anything about that, can you kind of give them the skinny on that?
On the riot?
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically what had happened was when Coolidge was governor of Massachusetts, the Boston police.
Did I say Vermont earlier? I don't know why I said Vermont. He was from oh, he was not governor of Vermont. He was governor of Massachusetts. I was completely wrong because I said that earlier. Anyway, Kyle, please continue. My bad.
No problem. So when he was governor of Massachusetts, the Boston police went on strike. They were demanding higher wages and better benefits and more hours, all the things that everyone always goes on strike for. Same communist stuff as always. But as a result of that, there were riots and looting and criminals were taking advantage of it. It was a very bad situation. And Coolidge called out the National Guard to deal with the problem. And he established in a couple of speeches an idea that actually is still foundational in jurisprudence today, which is that there is no right to strike against the public interest. That's why the police to this day can't strike, fire can't strike, paramedics can't strike. To this day, there is in jurisprudence, there is a there you have no right to strike against the public interest. It's kind of an interesting influence that he had even as governor. That's really what launched him into contention to run for president in 1919 or 1920.
Exactly. And, you know, I brought up Reagan bringing back the Coolidge portrait back into the White House. But Coolidge was cited years later, not immediately after, but years later, as people are still talking about the air traffic controller protest and the fact that Reagan fired everybody when they protested. Reagan said, you know, it took a lot of I was scared about my reputation. I was scared about the backlash, but, you know, I had to take a stand in that because they were, you know, they were putting so many people at risk and they were, you know, just really causing calamity in the country. He looked back to Coolidge and those police protests and said, I've got to take a stand. And ultimately it worked out better for the country. Do you think we'll ever see another leader like that? I mean, someone that really says, you know what, the special interest here, this has to stop, because Bush wasn't like that. Obama, he supported that type of stuff. I mean, he was always pro-union, pro-labor for that extent. But I don't even think, like, Trump has recently discussed privatizing air traffic control, but I don't think he's going to go through with that. He's shown to be a very formidable person. He does things just where I'm like, wow, I can't believe he did that sometimes. But when it came to that type of calm courage that Coolidge emulated, that Reagan was able to take inspiration from, do you think we'll ever see that again in a leader?
You know, honestly, I certainly hope we will. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. You know, I think the 2016 election has clouded all of our crystal balls, and predictions at this point in the game are really tough to come by. I certainly think that it is possible. My hope is that the response from conservatives to having elected someone as bombastic and ridiculous as Trump, and realizing that he's not going to accomplish large swaths of his agenda, we'll have some wins here and there, but nothing significant. Is my prediction at this point. But my hope is that the response will be to turn to someone who is the opposite, who is a little bit more restrained, and who it has a backbone to go and say this is not right, and this is the course that we are going to follow, and to really lead by example.
Exactly. And I mean, I was a giant Ted Cruz fan. I was incredibly disappointed when Ted Cruz dropped out after being eliminated from the race because of the delegates during the GOP primary. But, you know, before that, like my brother saw this very early on, but my brother Ryan, who's the show producer, he was a giant Scott Walker fan. And when I look at the type of people that, you know, emulate that type of courage, I'll call it that. You know, I do put Ted Cruz in that category, and I put Rand Paul in that category, and I also see Scott Walker in a lot of ways as like a modern day Coolidge in that extent. Not just because Scott Walker's a very bland guy that happens to ride a Harley, but I mean, you look at what he did with the teachers unions, and you know, he made Wisconsin a right to work state. I do think we do see people that emulate that Coolidge courage right now. Who else can you think of?
Well, I think Scott Walker is a great example, although Scott Walker has a problem in that he always looks like a cardboard cutout of Scott Walker.
Yeah.
But I do think he's a great guy. He's been a really good governor. I think in the early portions when he was governor, I think Chris Christie actually had a lot of that kind of willingness to stand up to unions and to strikes and those type of things. I really, really have a backbone. I think Governor Perry from Texas, although he's no longer governor, he's Secretary of Energy. He's got a, in my opinion, being from Texas, I think he's got a spine strong enough to make a freight train take a dirt road. But I think there's a lot of people out there that do. They're just hard to come by. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of skill and a lot of self-assurance. To be willing to stand in the way of a lot of money and a lot of special interest and a lot of power and say, no, that this is wrong. And it takes a very special person to come up with that. And I certainly hope that we develop a few more of them very soon.
Definitely. And we're going to go ahead and touch on that note. But first, we've got to hit our final commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the Remso Republic. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, it's Jen Gray with the Leading Liberty Podcast, and you're listening to Remso Republic.
Visit RemsoRepublic.com for all available content.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
Yelling
at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with like tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over engine trouble and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously, though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing, and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's PreussPodcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Logging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
All right, everyone, welcome back. We're going to start wrapping things up, but I've got this one question that keeps popping into my mind. I mean, I want to be, you know, that type of libertarian that says Coolidge is my man. I want to be a Coolidge conservative, and I know so many other people that, you know, they feel the same way. You know, one thing that I think is really awesome is that your wife, Savannah, on her Twitter, she calls herself a Coolidge conservative. And I mean, that's just awesome. We need to bring that back. That needs to be a thing now. We need giant banners in the sky saying Coolidge conservatives assemble. But at the same time, you have a lot of people that jump for kind of like that bombastic humor. People really liked Trump, not because they had anything to do with the Waller's policies or anything else. It's just that they liked people that could go around and break things. So my question is, do you think if Calvin Coolidge were to run for office today, do you think let's exclude, you know, could he win a general election? Do you think he could even get past a Republican primary?
Prior to the previous Republican primary, I would have said he would have at least a fighting chance. But, you know, the way the Republican Party looks today, I really don't know. I mean, he could have a shot at the Libertarian nomination, but then that bar is not very high.
When it comes to the Republican Party, as long as you breathe, you could have a shot at the Libertarian nomination.
Well, I mean, they do have some standards. When you breathe, pot smoke has to come in and out of your mouth.
I mean, you could be a communist and they'll still let you come in.
As long as you support legalizing marijuana, that's the litmus test, I think, for the Libertarian Party. Although I love my Libertarian friends, we get along great. Their party's just kind of a joke at this point. But, you know, honestly, in the modern Republican Party, it really does seem like they're more interested in hitting liberals and hitting statists and scoring the cheap victories than in putting in the time and the effort and trying to win hearts and minds of the next generation. You know, I'm reminded of a great quote from a good friend of mine, Chris Dunham. He says, cheap victories are actually losses. You know, when the victory doesn't cost you anything, when it's not when it doesn't cost you anything, when it's not difficult, in the end, it actually ends up being a loss.
That is very true. And I think for, you know, Republicans, when the left, okay, here's my biggest gripe about Republicans. When the left says they're going to do something really, really scary and really, really stupid, they do it, but they double down. When Republicans run, I forgot who said this, but they run as libertarians, and then a lot of them try and govern like Democrats. I mean, I remember in 2015, you had Paul Ryan's first major obstacle. It was the giant omnibus bill, and he called that a victory because all he did was move a little bit of money from this program and he put it towards like light rail or something, and he put it towards a little bit defense, and that he tried calling that a victory. And with Republicans now, it's like they repealed Obamacare, you know, in the Senate and the House several times while Obama was president when they were trying to fundraise and win elections. And then now they run that show and they're like, oh, we didn't really mean it. I mean, look at the Democrats. They can obstruct. It's like, you've got a majority, bro. All you have to do is do what you said you were going to do. I think Coolidge is rolling over in his grave when he looks at today's Republican Party.
You know, I think you might have a point, but I think Coolidge was also rolling over in his grave when he looked at his own Republican Party. I mean, not terribly long after Coolidge, you have Hoover elected, who couldn't be any more different than Coolidge. I mean, Coolidge detested and opposed special interest, and Hoover basically underwrote most of them. So I think there's always this tendency. You know, it's never a popular position to stand for conservatism and for liberty. It never is. It's always a very small percentage of the population that ever truly will. I think a big part of it is, you know, we've got to take a little bit of advice from President Reagan. If you can't make them see the light, you got to make them feel the heat. And right now, There's no cost for not governing as a conservative. You're a Republican. And part of that is the Democrats' fault, because it's not like there is no real credibility in this idea that Republicans are going to switch over and vote for Democrats or not show up to vote and let the Democrats take the House, because it's so crazy that the swing and how far to the left the Democratic Party is. But we've got to find a way as the grassroots to make our representatives really feel the heat in Washington.
Exactly. So, Kyle, we've got to wrap up the show. For those that are like, okay, I guess Coolidge is a little cool. What's your selling point to them? Because honestly, like, if I had to assign anyone homework, I'd say go ahead and read Coolidge by Amelie Schlaes. But even just Googling him, watching a short documentary, why should lovers of liberty give Cal a second look?
Well, I can sum that up in one quote, and it's my favorite quote probably in all of Cal's writings. And it says, "To live under the American Constitution is the greatest political privilege that was ever accorded to the human race." If you love America, if you love liberty, you're going to love Calvin Coolidge.
Right on, right on. Kyle, if people want to, you know, learn more about what you're doing yourself and with Young Guns and everything else, how could they do so?
Yeah, well, they can subscribe to the Young Guns podcast and whatever podcast player they happen to use. They can connect with me on Twitter. My username is Kyle Griesinger. It's K-Y-L-E-G-R-I-E-S-I-N-G-E-R. Long and confusing, I know, but if you get G-R-I-E-S, usually I'm the only one that shows up, so that works out pretty well.
You know, when you can launch your rap career, you could just be Kyle G.
Yeah, I know, except problems.
You can't say it's because you're white. Eminem broke that barrier. That glass ceiling is done, Kyle.
Yeah, but I feel like there's only allowed to be the one, at least the only one that's any good.
Yeah, hopefully Vanilla Ice doesn't listen to this. Anyway, Kyle, thank you so much for coming on. Absolute blast, as always. And, you know, keep up the great work, man.
Same to you.
All right, folks. I mean, give Cal a chance. If you haven't read him, you know, haven't read his, you know, his biography by Amelie Schlaes or anything else, definitely give him a chance, because I do really think that underneath that very calm, cool, quiet man, he had the heart of a lion, and he led like a leader, but he had integrity, and ultimately he looked out for what wasn't in his best interest always, what wasn't in the best of a party, but he always went back to liberty. That, and he was the first guy to say taxation is theft, so that's pretty cool. So definitely go ahead and check it out. Go ahead and give Kyle a visit on iTunes. Go ahead and give Young Guns a 5-star rating and review. As always, folks, go ahead and do the same for me on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. Go ahead and check out our awesome networks like Deplorable Radio and Auto Radio, LRN.FM, and all that jazz. And as always, be good to your neighbor. Go treat yourself. And I'm Remso W. Martinez, America. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?